Well, hi, everyone. Welcome to the Welcome Podcast. We are glad that you're here joining us today. And I'm not too sure whether you're going for a walk. Maybe you're watching online on YouTube or through our website or whatever. We just want to say welcome. My name is Mike Gordon. I'm the pastor at Bethel Brandon. I have my co-host, Logan Teetard, here. How you doing, Logan?
I am very, very well.
Excellent. Excellent. We're kind of excited about the podcast. We're trying to do everything we can to create new avenues on how we can create dialogue, how we can encourage people, how we can challenge people, how we can just kind of take them to the next level in terms of their faith. And my hope is that you'll get something that will propel you ahead. That's kind of our idea. That's kind of the thought. So you might be here and you might be just kind of examining and you're just kind of really trying to figure out what Christianity is all about. Or maybe you are here and you are returning to faith. One point you did serve Jesus really, really well, and something has happened, and now you kind of find yourself kind of coming back and asking more questions, or maybe you're just kind of here, you've been a Christian for just a little while, and you're in the process of growing, hey, you may have been here for a long period of time. The idea is this, we want to grow deeper, don't we? It's not about the fact that I've just given my heart to Jesus and that's kind of it. You know, it's just waiting time until I get to heaven, right? The idea is we want to grow deeper in our walk. And so you might be here, and if when you first give your heart to Jesus, that's kind of level one, and 100 is heaven. That's kind of you've advanced and you've matured to the point where you're just, there's nothing more. God's just going to take you home because you're perfect. You might be here and you are a 10, hey, we all like to think that we're 10s, right? But in terms of your walk, in terms of the whole process, you are at a 10, and I'm hoping that the conversations that we have, the challenges that we have through this podcast will take you from a 10 to 11, or maybe you're 32 and we want to kind of take you from a 32 to a 33. And one of the reasons that it is important to have these conversations because a lot of us have kind of come through this recent pandemic, and it seems like we have plateaued. You know, for the longest time, we couldn't meet, and for the longest time, we couldn't associate with people, and there's a lot of lonely people, and there's a lot of people who just kind of got dull in their walk with God, and they've plateaued. And so we're starting to ask questions and to begin dialogue, to begin to do things to edge us forward, to become mature in our walk with God. And that's an important thing. And the thing is, in order to do that, it just doesn't fall upon us. It's not something, there's no easy road to growing your faith. You know, you can't lounge your way to mature faith. There's no such thing as a spiritual couch potato or a spiritual couch potato. It's not there. And so what we want to do is we want to talk about the fact that when you accept Jesus and when you kind of come and start walking with God, you begin a process of God challenging you to go ahead. And I found, and as we've discussed this, there's three areas that we kind of see that in. We do it, God begins to invest, or we begin to invest our time, our talent, and our treasures. And we wanted to kind of maybe hit on the first two, our time and our talent. And so we have a special guest. We have Pat Nevin. Hi, Pat. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Excellent. Now, for those of you who have kind of been following the podcast, our very first podcast had Jim Nevin. And he helped us on our Father's Day podcast, and he did a great job. But we thought we would have to create equal billing to make sure that the whole family is represented. I have known Pat for close to 30 years now. And in those times, recently now, she is our head usher here at the church. And anyone who is part of the Bethel family knows Pat has talked to Pat, or Pat has approached them, or Pat has encouraged them in one way or another. But prior to doing the job of head ushering, I know was working with Teen Challenge, and you had helped create the new building and things. You did quite a bit of work with Teen Challenge, did you not?
I spent about 18 years with them.
Yeah, 18 years, and a lot had happened in that 18 years. They had like an old decrepit building, and then now they've got a beautiful place where they call home now.
Yes, Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Can I say a little bit about that
one?
You
absolutely can.
Yeah, when we first got started, we needed a home for the men. And we finally found, like you said, this older house that needed a lot of work and a lot of money. And one day we just sat down and looked at it and thought, it's too expensive to renovate. We need a new house. Mm. So we prayed and we prayed and we kept on pushing. And God raised the money for us within maybe 2 years of our plan. The girls have now it's a women's center, brand new acreage. Yeah. And that was kind of one of the things where I learned to trust God, because every time I wanted something, people would say, no, you can't do that. You can't have water. You can't do this. But I knew in my heart we needed this house. So I just kept going, and I went to government, provincial, everybody. And it took over a year. And then one day the RM said to me, can you come to a meeting? And I said, sure. So myself and the president of TC at that time, we went to the meeting. They wanted to know what we were, who were, what we did, all that kind of thing. And we gave them our testimony, and everybody around the table was crying.
Wow.
When we left there, I got a phone call maybe a week later. It was a go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We got the house. We got everything we needed under humanitarian grounds.
Wow. Now, did you have a part of playing in the creation of the thrift store that is now here?
To a degree. Yes, okay. I did. I was part of the, we were looking for a building.
Okay.
Yes.
And so for those of you who don't know, you know, the thrift store in Brandon, the Teen Challenge Thrift Store, is one of their main fundraisers for them to run their ministry. And so all of that stuff didn't happen until there were volunteers helping in the process. And so I know you had helped in that area. When I was here as a youth pastor 25 years ago, you were my youth leader, and you helped me corral the kids and disciple the kids, the youth. And even prior to that, I still remember you telling stories about how you had helped the ski resort. Is it in Minnedosa that they had
resort? Yes. You're going back a long time.
I am going back a long time, because it is actually showing something that, you know, you have been a volunteer, a crucial volunteer in our church to make things go ahead. But you were also volunteering in a parachurch organization, which wasn't directly associated with the church. And you were working with all different ages, and you had worked even in the community. And that is an important thing. And I know Logan and I were kind of discussing this, is that when you become a passionate follower of Jesus and you give your heart to Jesus, that, and it comes to volunteering, many times it takes the fact that it's not just in your local church. Although, hey, being the pastor, I really appreciate the fact that there are so many people, we don't run church without them. But volunteering is very much a kingdom thing, where God may direct us in different ways in that. And so it's kind of an important point that we wanted to make, and you are a perfect example of that. Do you remember the first time and why you started volunteering? It's, you know, I'm probably going back. If I'm going back a couple of years, I might as well go back right to the very beginning.
You're almost going back too far for
me.
Maybe. I don't know. I guess I just thought if you want to be a part, you got to be a part. And the way you be a part is to volunteer. Because honestly, over the years, I don't know any organization that can run without a volunteers.
No.
Amen.
Amen. And that's the thing. You're always teetering on the success of any ministry by those people who are willing to help you. And you have volunteered just as a volunteer. You have been a leader in leading volunteers. As you have kind of had all these years of knowledge and doing it, is there any kind of nuggets of wisdom that you can kind of give us, or some things that you've learned along the way?
Oh my goodness, that's a good question. Yeah, I think by doing, you learn as you go. Sometimes you go into things like totally blind, not really realizing what you said yes to. But God takes you. He knows your giftings. He knows who you are. He knows what you can do. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry. You just got to trust and go.
Okay.
See, Now, I want to add something to that. When I was 17 years old, I had just graduated high school. I was on a youth camping trip. And I got a phone call from a friend of mine who was a camp director. She called me at 4 a.m. Wow. And, and she was like, Logan, we've been praying all night. We're short on male counselors, like, to the point where, like, we can't run camp, like, in the next couple weeks if we don't get more people. And I was like, I had a full-time job at this point. Like, I was like, I don't know. Like, I just took a week off to go to this camping trip, all this stuff. And I was like, but I'll pray about it. So then I got up, and I'm in a hotel with a bunch of, like, students. So I was like, I don't know what to do. So I went in the hallway, and I was just, like, pacing the hallway praying, because that's what I did. And I was told to, like, go and serve at this camp. I'd been to camp lots, but I had never done camp ministry. And this is not, like... This isn't like our local camp, like Manhattan Beach. This camp is ginormous. It sees like 1,200 kids a week.
Wow.
And they're all like foster kids and stuff from like Winnipeg. So it's a big deal to come into that. And just when you're talking about God, like providing you the skills and opening the doors for you to go and serve, like I had a full-time job at this point, and I knew that I wanted to do this, but I wanted to have a job when I was done. So I went to my boss, who isn't a Christian, or wasn't at the time, maybe is now, and was like, hey, I kind of want the rest of the summer off. Well, no, I said, I want 1 week off to go to this camp because they really need me. And he's like, okay, yeah, sure, it's summer, we're slow, whatever, go. Went, had an amazing week, one of the most challenging weeks of my life because I'd never done anything like that.
Sure.
Came home and went to him again and was like, hey, I want the rest of the summer off. And he looks at me like, are you crazy? And then I was like, yeah, maybe a little bit. Like, yeah, I kind of am, but I really want the rest of the summer off. And he looks at me dead in the eyes, and he's not a Christian at this at all, but he looks at me dead in the eyes, and he's like, yeah, he's like, God's telling you to do that. You should do it. And then, wow. And then I went and served all summer long.
Wow. And that so, that opens a whole log of questions for me. Yeah. The first one is this. If you call me at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm assuming that someone has died, you know. So that's yeah. never always a good thing. But the one thing I've often found, and Pat, maybe you found this as well, is that usually the people who volunteer the most are often people who are already busy with other things. Like yes. I don't know yourself. You were involved in a number of things in the church, but you were also running the farm or helping it to administrate the farm. It's not like you were just kind of sitting doing nothing. You had a job that you regularly did as well. Why is it that the busiest people often seem to be the ones who are volunteering as well?
Another good question again. I guess because we're ready to go.
Yeah.
What's the need? Can I do it?
Yeah, I think that once you get... I find many times that volunteering, getting involved, can be, and I don't want to call it a habit because I don't think it's a habit, but it's something that it's a routine that you can get yourself involved in or just as easily not be involved in. Like if all of a sudden you're inactive, the tendency is to stay inactive,
yeah.
Right? If you're volunteering and you are and you just are doing, okay, something else. You kind of get yourself into a rhythm where you just, it's just part of the thing. Okay, this is part of the life I am. And I think that the jump, and maybe I'm thinking of people who have either stopped volunteering or have stopped utilizing their gifts for the Lord, have gotten themselves into that point where they have gotten out of the rhythm of doing it. So how do I encourage people to get themselves into a rhythm of volunteering? Any kind of thoughts on that?
I guess it depends on how hungry is the person to get out of the rut they're in.
Yeah.
It's really where it starts. I mean, you can coax me all you want, but if I don't want to go, I'm not coming.
Yeah, exactly.
You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink type
yes.
of situation.
So in the end, it's your choice.
Yeah. But at the same time, like I know that there are a number of people who volunteer. I know that there's it's almost like we've heard the 80-20 principle, you know, is that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And I don't know if that is totally true in a thing, but my challenge has always been, and I'm thinking, Pat, because you are the head usher, you're always recruiting people to help out. What is the golden rule, or what is it that you utilize to get volunteers to help out?
Well, I pray a lot about lots of stuff. That's my backbone. I just introduce myself to people and talk to people like, what are you doing? Are you interested in this? This is what we do. Is that something you would like to do? And then I'll walk you through it the Sunday you start.
So do you have like a hit list? You kind of walk and you see someone, say, you know, that person would make a good usher, or that person would be a good head usher.
Actually, I do.
Okay.
I was going to say, she definitely has a list in her mind of people she's going to talk to.
That was a loaded question. I already knew what the answer was to that.
So I gave the right answer?
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying it's kind of funny how it is. If you see a need, then and what happens is you see people who are maybe not as involved. You know, my contention, and I've been a pastor for over 30 years, is that when it comes to approaching people for volunteering, that many times, and it's important, you said, a lot of times I'll be praying that God will open the door. We really do need to see God move. And I have found that many times when we're asking and recruiting volunteers, that when I ask them, chances are that God has already been speaking to people.
Yeah.
Have you found that?
Yes. Maybe not in what I wanted them to do, but in another area that I knew where there was a need.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of the funny thing is that we assume that people don't want to get involved. But I think that if a person has gotten to a point in their faith and they said, okay, I've given Jesus everything, so Lord, how do I take the next step? I believe that there's already an ongoing conversation with the Holy Spirit in some regard.
Oh, because some people are shy, I guess is the word, and they don't know how to say, hey, I'm available, but I only want to do this on a certain day. Well, that's good by me. Just tell me what you want and when you want it, and I'll make it work.
Sure.
And I think it's just a matter of approaching people and having that one-on-one conversation.
Yeah.
I would also like to add to that, too, because I was going to bring that question up later. Of I think sometimes we as, like, we'll say, like, older Christians, the responsibility does fall on us a little bit to, like, reach out to these new people or to anybody and get them involved. But also, as somebody who was a new Christian, first generation, it also does fall on you. Like, you do have to, like, be willing to, like, step up and reach out. Because I hear it so many times. They're like, I don't feel connected. I don't feel connected. I don't have a church home. I don't, whatever.
Okay.
And my first response to anybody that ever asks me that is, are you volunteering? Are you serving? Because for me, growing up, the best way that I got connected to my church was when I started volunteering and actually putting effort into building relationships and joining what the church is. And so that's why I'm really glad that we touched on the first part of that, which is we as Christians need to reach out to those new people and start bringing them in, because that's what did it for me. And I'm glad that Pat is praying for people and that we are actually, like, praying into these volunteers. But you start with relationships. You're friendly to everybody. And I think that is, like, really, really key. If you're just some angry person and you walk up and be like, hey, do you want to volunteer? Like, that's not going to reach anybody, right? Volunteering is a relationship building time, and it should be viewed as that. And I think if we as Christians, like, say, like, more mature ones, like, start acting like it with that type of idea, we're going to see, like, major changes in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything to add to that?
Well, it's like home. This is family.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you really well, but if you hang around for a while, I get to know you.
Yeah. You never really get to know and be and have that level of ownership until you put skin in the game.
Yeah.
That's basically what it is. And then what happens is the language goes this. It starts like your church, and then it goes to the church, and then it says it goes to our church. There's a process. And that process of ownership happens when you become involved.
Right? Absolutely. And so otherwise, you have no interest in it.
Yeah.
Or limited.
I kind of have seen it as a three-step process. The first step is this. So you come to church, and the issue is the sermon, the song and the sermon. You come, you have a time of worship, you hear the sermon, and it's really good. And then it kind of evolves into the third S, I guess it would be. And I don't have this listed down. This is just right off the top of my head. After that's the social. It's the fact that you're meeting with people. And that's kind of how, you know, the social aspect, it kind of goes out as well, because you meet and you talk to get to know You get to know people after the service. That becomes an important part of the service, meeting and talking with people and establishing relationship. And then hopefully that fans out into being involved outside of church in small group format and stuff like that. But I think the time where our faith really begins to take on form and muscle, so to speak, is when we begin to serve, right? So you kind of go song and a sermon, and then you add the social, and then all of a sudden there is the aspect of, okay, it has to be a time where I begin to invest myself. And that becomes an important part of faith. And the danger, I find, is that there are a number of people who stop after the social, right? The serve never ever gets in, and then they never ever grow past that level of serve. Any thoughts on that? Have you found that yourself? Have you seen anything similar to that?
Yeah, I have. And I feel for those people, because if they just wanted to hang around for a little bit and just slowly get to know one or two people, you might grow into quite a big family here.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And I mean, for those of you that don't know, I've only been here like a month now.
Yeah.
So like, but I mean, the first weekend, I'll admit, I was nervous because you're coming into a new church, you're on staff. Like it is nervous. But once I like started reaching out and like actually like talking to people, I was like welcomed in, like just like amazingly, which is like, I think so many people have this idea that like church is these like secluded off, like groups. And don't get me wrong, there are churches like that where it is really hard to get in, but I don't think ours is like that. No. And that's not the goal of the church. And so I completely agree with Patty. I feel so bad for those people that just come sit in the balcony or whatever and then just leave right out the back door. Because I'm just like, you're missing out on so much more of like the actual like deeper meaning of like what Christian life is. And yeah.
There is a level of maturity that happens, a level of growth and fulfillment happens at that fourth step where you say, okay, I'm going to get involved and contribute. You know, there's something that happens. There's a level of maturity of faith that comes in no other way, right?
You have to give.
Yeah.
Giving easy? No.
No.
Do you have hassles? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Can you survive? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Are you the better person for it? You bet.
Yeah. Here's another thing I wanted to add, and I'm hoping you could comment on this. I have found that once sometimes people have bad experiences, because sometimes Christians don't behave well, and all of a sudden here they are serving and they get criticized or they get something happens and they say, well, that's if that's what it says, I'm quitting, sort of thing. Or sometimes they get involved in something and after like a month they don't like it, but they are so stuck in the level of involvement that they feel like they're locked into something for life, and they begin to resent being involved in that particular area. Have you experienced that, or how have you combated things like that, Pat? I'm sure that you've had people where you've had to deal with a situation like that.
I guess we would just have to sit down and have, and you got to remember, Christians aren't perfect. They're just people. Mm-hmm. They've accepted Christ, which should help you deal with life, all kinds of life, all the time. And because we're growing and we haven't arrived yet, we deal with it different. So remember, we're not perfect, but we are trying. And we do blow it from time to time, no doubt.
Yeah.
But when you blow it, I have to sit down with you, Logan, and say, hey, Logan, what did I do? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. What have I done? Yeah. And then you need to be honest with me and tell me what I did.
Yeah.
So I can fix whatever I did.
Completely agree. Even I'll say, like, having, like, I've often served in the tech of the church. That's just kind of where I started. And I'll be honest, it was terrible the first couple of times, because when you're learning something new, and you, especially when you're the sound guy and you're still learning and you twist that knob, you don't necessarily know what it does, and you have everybody turn their head and start looking back at you, it really does discourage you.
It's the curse of the sound man,
yeah,
isn't it?
And
sound woman, sorry.
sound person.
There we go.
My apologies.
But it was just one of those things that I kind of had to like realize very early on that, like Pat said, we're not perfect. We're just people.
Yes.
And so like I had to learn not to like hold myself, like not to be like, oh, I messed up. Oh my gosh, this is terrible. Like you kind of have to get a little bit of thick skin, as anybody does. But it was so incredible to me that when I had a mentor like talk to me after and be like, no, what you did was right. And like, he stuck up for me, you know. Yeah. He was like, no, what you did was right. He's like, don't let anybody tell you otherwise. He's like, you know what you're doing. God has planted you here to do this. And so do it. And like, hearing that, I was like, I was emboldened. I was just on fire at that point. I was like, yes, I knew I'm here to do this. And I think so many more people need to have that like honest conversation. And like, this is one thing that I wanted to bring up. Not everybody is meant to greet. That's yeah. like, that's just the reality of the fact. Like if you have a face for radio, you're not going to greet people. Like, that's just because that's doing a disservice to yourself and to us.
Yeah. Finding the area of your gifting, your niche, and going yeah. with it. But sometimes I find that the thing you don't think you're good at, you actually are.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
You've never ever tried it. Right.
I didn't think I'd be good with kids. Honestly, yeah. I didn't, but I started doing it and found out that I was really good and I loved it. And it's just, you had to take that like first step, you know, and yeah. that comes to the second point of like talents. How do you serve with your talent?
Are you asking me that question? Or are we asking who's that question?
I don't know. Thank just you. Moving on.
Okay.
I'd like to go back to your comment about when you were in the sound booth and people looked at you because you did it wrong, but whoever was with you said, yeah. hey, no, Logan, no, you did it right. You're learning, you know. And that's what I think Christians and churches do. Again, we're not perfect, but if we've messed up somehow or we're unsure of ourselves, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I shouldn't have been at that door. If someone came along and said, hey, there's nothing wrong, but usually we stand over here because or this exactly. is often what we do. So we're not against you. We're loving on you mm-hmm. in a nice way and saying, well, if you try this and this might work better. And so we encourage one another. We uplift, whether it's in church as a volunteer or whether we're dealing something at home or at your job.
Yeah. I find that this is something that you excel at, Pat. That the whole aspect of being able to mentor people, you can't throw people in cold turkey.
No.
And that's what happens. You want to do this? And they say, sure, I'll show up. And then they show up on Sunday and they haven't a clue as to what to do. And there's no one to kind of walk them through. It's kind of one of those times where you walk them through the first time, the second time you allow them, and then the third time you let them while you just kind of oversee. And then that's kind of the process many times. But I found you've been good at that. Like, what do you do to encourage people and maybe keep volunteers encouraged?
Be their friend. Talk to them.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on at home? Did you have a good weekend? Or someone's sick or whatever, and oh, well, then don't worry about it. I'll cover for you on Sunday.
Yeah, so basically, you realize that they're people.
Yeah.
You don't realize how important that is, because sometimes you get focused on the job. Okay, this is the job, do the job. But the thing is, we are people, and there's a process that God is working in our hearts through that whole process. And if we forget that they are people, and I know there's just been a lot of times you phone people up just to check up on them, not, oh, this is the job. Here's where you are in the schedule. You know, sometimes the aspect of building relationship is a part of the process of volunteering, yep. right?
Oh, how do you be a part of a part if you're not?
No, but it's something I think we forget.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I mean, Jesus modeled that. Like, that's literally what he did. Like, he reached out and was like, hey, I'm going to take these 12 rapscallions and put them together.
Right.
But he focused on building them up as like people first.
Right. Yeah.
And treating them like human beings and then train them up and sent them out.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we need to do. And all of the volunteering that I've done, the reason that I'm even still here is because I was treated like a human being. I was cared for and I was asked, how are you doing? What can we do better? All those types of things. And I think that is like really, really important. And I got to say this, the very first time I even met Pat, she comes up to me Monday night of Plan to Protect and she's just the biggest smile on your face. You give me the nicest handshake and whatever. And it was less like, I was just like immediately like, I will do whatever she says.
Oh, good. I'll tell you what I need.
but
heard it first here.
No, but I just say that to say like, you have that just like natural ability to like lead people and capture them. And so just a little bit of encouragement for you too. Like, I was just really good.
It's important to understand. It's not about the job. Ultimately it is about the job, but it's not about the job. It's about people and loving people and the process of God working deeply in our hearts, the process of discipleship, and the invaluable growth that we have by saying, okay, I'm willing to do it. And sometimes the greatest opportunities I've had have been when people have sprung it on me. Like what happened to you? It was sprung upon you.
Yeah.
And so I think the first step is just asking people to volunteer, or if you are sitting in the congregation saying, okay, I'm willing to do my part. And I'm not too sure what it's like. One thing that I do, and I learned this from another pastor from a church of like 10,000, is that they instilled a thing called first serve. And basically it was this: get involved. If you don't like it, you say, no, I don't want to do it. And you don't have to give me a reason why. You don't have to fill out a report or anything. It's just that, I don't want to do this. And that way you have the freedom to quit. You have the freedom to say, okay, this is just not my ministry. But the thing was that they found that if they got involved in something like children's ministry, and the thing with children's ministry is this: there will never be a time where you don't need people for children's ministry. Every church I've been in, there's always been the need for people to kind of fill in. And the more people that you have, the better it is, because then everyone kind of shares it. And the easier thing now that we're doing live streaming and that, is that for a lot of people, if you volunteer for a Sunday morning, you can still catch the service, because you can watch it live stream afterwards. So the one thing I try and incorporate is this: just try it out. Try it out for 5 weeks. And after the 5 weeks, you just say, nope. And I'm not going to ask any other questions. I'll just say, well, let's find another area of ministry that will fit for you, because that's an important part. Yep. You were talking about how do you determine the talent. Trial and error. That basically is it. Another thing that I incorporate, and maybe you can voice in on this, is that if there is something, and a lot of times there's a person that I think would be good to lead a ministry, or a person like that, this person would be excellent for this. What I will do many times is I will approach that person and said, have you ever considered doing something like this? Have you ever thought? And kind of painted a bit of a picture for them. And they said, well, no, I haven't really thought about it. I said, well, you should think about it. You should just kind of maybe take some time and think about it. And so what happens is I leave it and I allow whatever seed I plant to germinate, right? And if the Holy Spirit is in it, then what happens is I come back 3 weeks later and I says, hey, I was kind of talking about this particular ministry. Let's just say it's a ministry to adult handicapped individuals, something along those lines. And I said, yeah, you just have the temperament and the love for something like that. And I know I kind of talked to you about three weeks ago. And so have you ever thought anything more about it? And I either get two responses. The one is this: yeah, still got nothing, right? And that happens a lot. Or what happens is, you know, since you've talked about it, I haven't been able to stop thinking about it. I've thought about a few ideas. And that's where I get back to the thought that many times as I approach people to volunteer, I am joining a conversation that the Holy Spirit has been in with people a long time before. Any kind of comments? Have you discovered that as well, Pat, or anything along those lines?
Yes. Often people have been thinking but didn't know what to do or how to do it or where to go, and it just clicks.
Yeah. Yep. I think God is continually working on us.
All the time.
Yeah. And we don't ever, maybe the fact is we need to, either people need to be approached, or people need to be challenged or pushed, or sometimes we just need to have that time where the Holy Spirit says, okay, I don't care if I make a mistake.
Yeah. And
that's the thing I find. Go ahead, finish what you're going to say.
I think one great thing about the church, I've always said it's like this. It's often like football. There is a position on a football team for every single person.
Yeah.
Whether you are tall and skinny and fast, or you're just really strong and beefy, there is a position for every single person on a football team to be successful. And the church is the same way. And I think that's something that, like, if you're hearing this today and you're just like, well, I don't know what I can offer. You can offer something. I guarantee you we have a need, or the church itself has a need that you can fulfill.
Absolutely.
There is a spot for every single person. And honestly, if you're looking at trying to serve, look at what you like to do. I also think that intrinsically, look at what you enjoy doing. If you enjoy like making coffee, then see if your church has a coffee ministry and that maybe you can help. Or if you like enjoy having conversations with people, become a greeter. You know, like there is, look at yourself too and think, what do I enjoy? I enjoy computers and technology. So of course, that's what I ended up serving in at church and stuff. But and so I think that will also help you get placed in the proper ministry as well. I mean, obviously, try out everything because you're going to find something that you didn't know you liked. But if you have a passion and something for in your personal life, we'll find a use for it in the church.
Okay. That leads me to think of a few things, but I thought I'd open it up to Pat. Anything along those lines of incorporating, seeing what people have and maybe pushing them to that level to maybe take a chance.
Some people, I think, have giftings that they're not aware of, but other people see them.
Yeah.
And I think you just have to approach those people and say, hey, Logan, I know I've seen you work those computers before, and you've helped me with stuff I can't figure out. You're a computer guy, aren't you? Hey, I've got something for you.
Exactly. Yep.
You know what someone probably did do with Logan? One day they saw him and said, you know what? You would be good with kids. I've watched the way you have interacted with children, and you probably don't know it because you've never really observed it, but you would be a great children's leader. And that's probably what happened, right?
Man, are you inside my head? Like,
yep. But she just basically said it. You know, yep. That is certainly true when we consider those things. So
sometimes I think we underestimate ourselves. Like, I'm not good enough, or I'm not this, or I'm not that, but who said that you weren't?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's put really well.
Always be, as a Christian, always be afraid of the statement, somebody oughta. Right? That's somebody ought to. Somebody oughta sounds like some kind of an African word. You know, somebody oughta. But it's not. Somebody ought to. You know, boy, there's a lot of garbage in the corner there. Somebody ought to clean that up. You know, there are not enough people helping with you. Somebody ought to. Well, as soon as you hear that statement, somebody ought to, many times that is the key that God is saying, hey, maybe I ought to.
Yep.
Sort of thing. So that can be, that many times can be a key that I have found. Yep. Right? So those are some important things to really deal with. And one other thing that I wanted to talk about, and I will open it up to you guys if there was anything that you think we should add, something that maybe the Holy Spirit has put upon you. Have you found, especially after COVID, I have found after COVID, the challenge as the pastor has been to somehow get us back together and to get us to a point. And what happened is we have kind of been at a stalemate in terms of our lives, that it's hard to generate that level of involvement and getting people to a level of advancing their lives in terms of involvement in faith and stuff like that. But I have found as well that, and this is probably over the last number of years, is that the rules have changed a lot in terms of volunteering. Is that if you do volunteer, so if you volunteer, especially if you're working with kids, then you need to get a criminal reference check, and if you have to do what we have at our church is a thing called Plan to Protect, and you know, there are incident reports that are filled out, and things are at the point where really a lot of times we have thought, well, it's just children's ministry. So if you're in children's ministry, sure, we have to protect them and we have to create rules so that not only are the children protected, so are the workers. And so we have a whole bunch of things which are in place. And but now, you know, as we have seen things progress, we have found that anybody who holds a position where they are in front of people, i.e. if you're an usher, or if you are worshiping, leading worship, you are seen by a young person as a person of authority. This person is good. This person I can trust. And so we have had to change. And we have had to say, so every person who is an usher, every person who is leading worship has to go through Plan to Protect. And I know that when I had that, and perhaps, Pat, you kind of can talk to this, the rules have changed. The rules have changed just because our society has changed. Do you have any kind of what are your thoughts on that?
You mean the Plan to Protect program?
Plan to Protect, or just the fact that there are so many hoops now that you have to go through when it comes to volunteering.
You know what? At first I thought, why? And then as I thought more about it, I'm thinking, I'm okay with that. I've got nothing to hide. I'm okay with the police check. I'm okay with filling out an information form. No big deal. It allows me to continue doing what I'm doing. But because you're right, society has changed. And there was an incident in the church that was brought up to my attention a couple nights ago that we had to act on that was totally out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
So stuff does happen, and it's nice to be able to go through these courses periodically and think, yeah, right, that could happen. Yeah, that's what I should do.
Yeah, and many times we think that we're trying to be invasive into people's lives, but the reality is we're trying to protect absolutely everyone. Yep. It's not just the children. We're trying to protect those people who are working as well. And if there's a system in place, then what happens is we avoid any kind of uncomfortable things altogether. I know my daughter, who is a volunteer coordinator at a hospice. She's a registered nurse, but one of her main jobs is to coordinate volunteers. I asked her about this, and she said there is 2 weeks of training that you have to go into. There are things that have to be filled out, and if there is a certain level there of people that you reach, it gets even more. There's videos that you have to watch. There is a whole litany. So it's not just the church where we're having to see these changes that are made. And so it's kind of an uncomfortable thing, but certainly in terms of volunteering, it certainly has become important in our day and age. So, yeah. One thing I brought a quote, and I don't know if you have heard it at all. I'll kind of read it out here. It talks about volunteering, particularly in the States. I wasn't able to find anything in Canada. I don't know. U.S. are really good in terms of statistics. I'm sure Canada is. We just haven't found the right location for it, I'm sure. It says 24 million seniors who collectively volunteer 6 billion hours each year in the United States of volunteers older than 65. Volunteers older than 65 is rising. According to the Administration on Aging, Americans, nearly all of them seniors, are volunteering 20% more than they did 20 years ago. Researchers at the University of Michigan recently discovered that the survival rate of seniors who volunteered 40 or more hours a year for a single cause was 40% greater than that of non-volunteers. So basically what it is telling us, particularly even if you're here and you're a senior, that you live longer. You live longer if you volunteer.
Well, you got some value. You got some worth.
That's the thing. That is an important thing, is that all of a sudden when I begin to volunteer, I realize that I am needed. You're needed in society, but you're also needed within the kingdom of God. And the excuse that is made many times is that, well, if I don't do it, someone with similar talents will be able to fill in for me. But that's not true. If you don't utilize your talents, the other person who has their talents will not be able to do their job because they're doing yours. Right? So it's an important thing to consider and look at. Any last thoughts as we kind of wind up our discussion here?
I will also say that, again, because there's just no Canadian statistics. Overall, out of every person that has been attending church, I think, in 2019 in the States, only 45% of them were serving.
Okay.
So I say that to say it's... and then you contrast that with that statistic, that probably means about half of them are seniors.
Yes.
If we're saying that 60% of them are serving. So...
okay, so let me bring the scenario up then. So here I am, I'm 35 years old, and I have 3 kids, and I work, and that. Why should I volunteer?
And because not because A, you're called to, I think that's the biggest, that's the most biblical based like answers. Like Jesus just says, you are here to serve, not to be served. Mm-hmm. But I think the greater thing is as a parent, you're modeling that for your kids.
You're saying to your kids, that's important.
This is important.
My faith is important.
Yeah.
And even though I'm busy with my kids, getting them off to whatever musical instrument or whatever sport or whatever dance or whatever, there's thousands of them now, and getting work done so we can put our kids through school and stuff like that does not contribute to the spiritual growth that happens through volunteering. I don't know, or maybe I'm off base.
Well, and one of the things that I always have tried to do in every ministry that I've done is I try to get families to serve together. That's my, and I do that. So I used to get a family to come in on a weekend. Dad would run the soundboard. Mom would run the computer or whatever. And their 10-year-old daughter would operate the camera.
Okay.
And they loved it. It took a lot of work on my end to build them up and to get them into that position.
So it'd be a family service day, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And we got, I think that is really good. And yeah.
Okay. Anything to add, Pat?
No, I think to get, I understand families are really busy with holding down two jobs, running a house, chasing kids, doing laundry. I totally get all that. But sometimes you're going to take some time for yourself, and maybe just volunteering or going someplace as a family to a church service, and over time get involved here, there, whatever. It's all healthy. It builds the overall health. It's not just a single thing.
Yeah.
And talking about an aging population, I hate to admit it, but I'm part of that aging population.
So am I.
But I'm still able to do things. I can still function. And while I'm able to, I would very, very much like to turn some of my things over to other people or train other people to replace me. Not that you're going to do it my way, and I don't care if you don't do it my way. It's change, and I'm okay with that. But come on, young people, let's get out here and carry this thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So If the statistic, no, I could say obviously that statistic isn't true of our church, but let's just say that it is.
Yeah.
That in our congregation or whatever congregation you are a part of, you're listening, you might be in Alberta, you might be in Niagara Falls or Ottawa. If you're Ottawa, you're probably one of my kids. Hey kids, how's it going? Right? But
I'm too far away.
Like okay. say so right now, and I'll have you start. And then Logan, I'll have you say something as well. There's 50. You want to say something to the 55% that are just kind of sitting and watching, right? What words would you use to encourage them to get involved? What words do you convince them to get involved?
If you want to be fulfilled in life and meet people and get out of your box, get out and volunteer. There's amazing people out there that will support you come whatever.
Use your time and talent for Jesus.
Absolutely.
And that's where the growth is and that's where the joy is. Yeah. Okay. Anything, Logan?
I would also say, I mean, you touched on it like this, but my mentor used to say it like this. He said, you can only eat so much food before it's unhealthy. You need to get up and digest it and move it. Hmm. So if you're just only attending church and you're sitting in the back and you're being spiritually filled, great. Don't stop doing that. But you need to get up and you need to digest that energy that you're taking in, that spiritual energy, we'll say.
Spend it.
And use it. That's what we're supposed to do. You're not, Christian life is not meant to be a couch potato or whatever. It's meant to be active. It's meant to be doing and changing and growing. So great. Keep attending church, keep doing all that stuff. But just know that if you actually really want to like see real change in your life, you need to be willing to take that next step and actually like reach out. And last thing to all you new volunteers, this is my one piece of advice. Be willing to learn.
Yeah,
that's I don't care if you've never touched a computer before in your life and you want to try it. As long as you are willing to learn and you have an attitude of openness, you will succeed in whatever ministry you volunteer at.
Yeah, I guess if I were to say I had, I guess, a little bit of a chance to think about it as I listened to you talk. My thought is this. If you aren't involved or you are no longer involved, you used to be, it's time to take a chance again. You know, and it might be the first time you take a chance, it may not even work. But the times that we are most like Jesus are the times where we take the towel and we wash other people's feet. That is the time when you are the most like Jesus. And if our goal is to be like Jesus, you can't get away from that. And ultimately, and I don't know if I can say this the correct way, the best thing for yourself, right? A lot of times we think, well, if I volunteer, it's the best thing for others. That's not true in the kingdom of God. The best thing for myself is to invest in other people. Ultimately, the best thing for me is when I say, okay, I'll do whatever small. I will offer my 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and we'll see what God does with it. And that's really what it is. Yep. It's you offering your 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It's you offering your 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And when we all do that, God does great things.
Yep. And just throw in something at the end. As you volunteer, yes, it takes time. Yes, you have to come back from wherever you are because it's your Sunday to serve or whatever the case may be. But your life is blessed in ways you can't even imagine.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So we have found that even on our just early podcast, that there are people who have questions and comments and things like that. And so what we're doing is we're creating an email for those people asking. I'll just let you address that.
Yeah. So if you have questions, if you want to ever talk about anything, whether you have topic ideas, questions for us, prayer requests, anything, email forgiven@bethelbrandon.ca. Pastor Mike and myself will kind of be checking it I'll be checking it daily probably, and we want to hear from you. We want to encourage you. We want to reach you. So if you have just accepted Jesus and you're at that level one, you are just forgiven of your sins, and you want to know what's next, send us an email, follow us on social media and all that stuff, put a comment down. We'll get in touch with you. We'll reach out and we'll make it happen.
Or meet me at the front door.
Yes, or come and visit us in person and you can meet Pat.
God bless you. I don't know where you're at spiritually, but I'm hoping that you've gone from a 10 to an 11. And we want to be authentic. We want to be organic. We want to be informative. And we want to serve. And so, God, I just pray that you bless any person who watches this broadcast. And I pray, Father, we can do the best that we can to reach people and further people in their faith. And so let the Spirit of God move from here, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thanks, Pat, for joining us. We are so glad that you are here. And we'll probably continue this conversation with another guest probably within the next week or two ahead. But God bless you, and thanks for joining us.